Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
So glad you could be a part of The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Great to have you here this weekend. It's being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. That's what makes it so special, unusual, and fun, as a matter of fact. We've got momentarily here Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. And what she's talking about today is a topic called Manage Your Expectations. We'll have to find out what that's all about. A little bit later on, Gene Bliss, The Customer Experience, Soothing the Savage Consumer Soul. Consumers are savage? Yes, they are. Soothing the Savage Consumer Soul a little bit later on in the hour with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. And we also have a very special guest out of Hanover, New Hampshire, Praveen Kopale, who is the Associate Professor of Business Administration. After teaching at the University of Arizona in Tucson for 4 years, Praveen traded the warm southern weather for the charming Northeast. All right. And Farmer's Almanac, by the way, Brad, says that the Northeast this year is going to get one heck of a winter. Yeah. That means lots of snow. Joined the Tuck School in 96. His teaching and research interests include marketing management, marketing research, pricing strategy, and new product development. We'll tell you more as we move along here. So Praveen is with us, and all good things are here. What do you have there?
Well, I was just also going to just mention, for those that read Advertising Age magazine, Praveen, our guest today, wrote an outstanding article, which is how we came to become acquainted with Praveen. And the article was about emergent consumers, and we're going to get into all that during today's interview. It's a wonderful and exciting topic that we're going to cover in just a few minutes. Something here, Ray, that I thought was interesting. I was going to mention last week and didn't get a chance, but it's an evergreen subject, as we say in the business. Sundia Corporation, producers of 35% of the United States watermelon supply, Ray, yes, is transforming its watermelons into billboards.
I was going to tell you wine.
Well, actually, like it's a pretty decent idea in terms of who's tying in with it. SC Johnson's Ziploc brand is stepping up as an advertiser. Ads will appear on watermelons in the Midwest and Southwest U.S. in the form of a sticker, which combines with the Sundia logo on the top of the watermelon. Not unlike what you see on bananas, but a bit bigger. And the coupon for Ziploc is $1.50 off the purchase. Not sure that you're going to put a watermelon in a Ziploc, but you might put chopped up watermelon in a Ziploc. But it's a great idea.
Or some other big Ziploc, you could. Yeah, exactly.
Or some other produce item in a Ziploc. But I thought it was, it's a novel idea, rather interesting, and I thought it was a good advertiser.
And it's always fun to hear new and exciting ideas, right?
Yeah.
Now you've got, and a lot of the supermarkets today, many where you shop have the unusual effect. Whether it be a farm, chickens and eggs, and hens clucking and such, and what else? The produce section, every time the water turns on, there's thunder and it rains. What a great idea. A great idea. So anything innovative is a good thing. Absolutely. Shamin Abbas here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Manage your expectations. Nothing is guaranteed except hard work. Expectations. Every client has them, whether you're an advertising agency or a public relations firm, you face that. And in every pitch to a potential client, ad agencies and PR agencies must strike a balance between enthusiastically throwing out ideas and outcomes with the possibility that instant gratification is not guaranteed. For each of these creative entities, the only absolute guarantee is hard work on behalf of the client. Managing a client's expectations starts with an open communication from the very outset of the working relationship and continues throughout the term. It is important to bolster enthusiasm and momentum while at the same time keeping expectations realistic. Most clients have reasonable expectations, which is why they've managed to create enough success in business to hire you. In public relations, it is important to be absolutely upfront from the first meeting that it is possible to work relentlessly for 6 months, pitching weekly and producing well-attended events, and still not see a huge surge in media attention. It's a fine line between realism and pessimism, and we're very careful to stay on the sunny side of that duality and keep working towards our mutually agreed upon goals with the same intensity and commitment. Timing, the cultural moment, what's happening in the news, what celebrity is in trouble, all of these things and more can affect the success of a public relations campaign. Our job as publicists is to keep on going, keep on pitching. Story got bumped due to hard news, you call the producer in a few days and politely ask if we can reschedule. Adaptability is the hallmark of effective public relations. If you are true to your promise and find every angle, every newsworthy crumb, and promote it to a wide variety of media outlets, both the obvious and the not so obvious, you'll get results for your clients. Sometimes those results don't kick in right away, but you need to keep going. You need to keep doing the job at the same level right up until the day.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Shamin, thank you so much here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And, well, we are just a moment away from bringing our very special guest on here. But first, boys and girls, it's all about the beer. Amstel Light is doing something unusual. And, yes, we're talking about Thanksgiving already. Can you believe it? Amazing. How about an Amstel Light this Thanksgiving with your plate of couscous? Recipes for side dishes, mail-in rebate. Are how Heineken USA will try to get its imported light beer on grocers' shoppers' radar for the November holiday. Amstel Light retail displays will tout your holiday, your twist in the beer section and elsewhere, with tear pads offering rebates to people who buy flowers or turkey and a 12-pack of the Dutch brew, which is actually, it's a really good brew. It's not bad.
It's not bad, yeah.
No, it's only 98 calories. That's its big claim to fame. And that's actually kind of cool when you think about that, so... Mm-hmm. Have an Amstel Light with your turkey this year. And why not, you know?
Yeah. Help you sleep on the couch after dinner.
It's even more than the stuff you get from the turkey, right?
Tryptophan, I think it is.
Yeah, something like that. Go for it.
Well, I was just going to mention the eMarketer lower online ad forecast. Not good news for internet, from internet research. eMarketer lowered the U.S. online ad spending forecast from $24.9 billion this year down by $1 billion from an earlier projection of $25.9 in March. Even the lowered forecast, Ray, online ad spending will still increase 17% over last year, according again to eMarketer. So, you know, it's no surprise. We're in a recession, for God's sakes.
I've heard that. Yeah. Wait, I'm living that. That's right. Praveen Kopale is our special guest here at the Advertising Show. Praveen is the Associate Professor of Business Administration at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. And we've got him on with us here in just a moment. Good reason for you to stick around, right? We certainly hope so.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Yes, we have been called squeaky clean here at The Advertising Show. Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth. Hey, welcome back. Praveen Kapale, Associate Professor of Business Administration. Praveen received his Ph.D. in Marketing Management from the Graduate School of Business, Columbia University, New York. That's a good school. He also has an MBA in Marketing and Management from the Indian Institute of Management, Bangalore, India, and many other accolades to his credit there as well. And Praveen, it is so nice to have you here on The Advertising Show. Thanks for taking time out of your day.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we're honored to have you, Praveen. I wanted to do a little background here before we get into your study. It's been mentioned, and no secret, that some 25,000 new products are introduced to the U.S. market every year, and yet consumers are rejecting the vast majority of these new products. I'm curious, what is your take on the reasons behind such a low success rate, Praveen?
Right. If you look at a typical new product development process, it begins at the concept development stage, at least in the consumer packaged goods. It involves contacting your typical or average consumer base, holding a bunch of focus groups, conducting many in-depth interviews to try and figure out consumer interest as well as, you know, how to improve a concept. Then they pick a couple of ideas, build prototypes, and then finally market them. The process looks pretty sound, but then managers are really surprised when they look at this failure rate. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, your typical consumer or your average customer base is not really the best input point with respect to developing new products. And because studies show that, you know, typical consumers have difficulty estimating the usefulness of innovations. And marketers tend to abandon new products and ideas when consumers exhibit such uncertainty, and they go with what these people think are more certain new product ideas, but they just don't take off. And this is how, you know, I've been in the new product area for about, you know, 12, 13 years now, and when I looked at the process and so on, that's what I got thinking with respect to, well, you know, maybe they're talking to the wrong set of people. You know, this is where the notion of we came up with the notion of emergent consumers, and that's where my research has been focused on the last couple of years. But I think, you know, part of the problem is firms are probably talking to the wrong set of people in developing new products.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the emergent consumer that was very well explained and written about in Ad Age. I guess it was the May issue earlier this year. May 26th, 08. So you can check the archives at adage.com if you like. But you'll get a lot of information today here with Praveen and explore this subject. You mentioned that there's putting a little bit too much, emphasis or importance on what consumers think, and there's this disconnect between new products and consumer acceptance, if you will. Is this inability for companies to accept the fact that they've developed a product that's maybe off target or not what it should be, a tendency to want to look at the marketing or advertising or find some other reason behind why a product is not being fully accepted? Or do they understand that it really goes back to the consumer, as you describe, and the input and the allowance of that consumer or that influence that consumer had on the product development?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, firms do a lot of cutting-edge advertising research and put enough resources behind that. And sometimes even when you have a good product, without good advertising, you know, you won't be able to market that as well as you could do with really good advertising. But even there, when you're doing advertising copy testing, for example, you know, again, they test it with your average consumer. And the question we ask is, you know, is that really the appropriate way to go? Because if you look at the emerging theme in the industry and academic, it's the notion of, you know, co-opting customer competence. It sounds like a big phrase, but essentially it talks about, you know, when you're developing new products or ideas or even in advertising themes, you have to you should not look at customers as a passive audience. Rather, you look at customers as active players and co-creators of value. For example, you know, hundreds of Microsoft customers help the company develop its Windows 2000 software. But what is less clear for firms is whose customers' competence should you co-opt? And when I talk to managers at many different companies, and they're at a loss of who they should talk to.
Yeah, and you're all about defining who it is that you should be talking to, and we have a few minutes left, and I guess 3 or 4 minutes left in this segment. You say that your objective was to develop a way, not so much to kill bad products, but it was all about saving good ones. Why do some good products seem to never make it? Yet, you know, other than the obvious reasons, Praveen, like underfunded or poorly marketed. I mean, aren't there times when there are some great products out there that, you know, maybe have the customer input that were developed on target and yet, you know, other than, again, some funding issues or poorly marketing, are there some inherent issues with regard to the product itself that ends up being a part of why a product does not succeed?
Right. You know, that in a product itself, you know, may not have been developed properly, but sometimes there are good products, but they might fail because of other reasons, such as advertising and not enough resources. And in pharmaceuticals, you know, you see many examples of that. You know, Glaxo's Ventolin is an example of a great product, but without much marketing effort behind it, you know, they won't do as well as they would do otherwise. But what I'm talking about here is that there are some good ideas, but are canned very early on. And then the question is, you know, is there a way to save these really new products?
Let's take a break first here, Brad. We got a break coming up. Praveen Akopale is our special guest, associate professor of business administration, the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple.com and a platform called Tendency. It's a killer marketing platform. Check it out. It's SCHIPL.com. Back in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read IWantMedia.com? IWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. IWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says IWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit IWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
What's up? Dino's stolen the different vitamins we need to make Flintstones.
Yabba dabba doo, yabba dabba doo. Flintstone vitamins are good.
This is The Advertising Show. Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, Praveen Akopale, our special guest. And we're going to do this next segment, Brad, because he is a ham radio operator. We're going to ask for the answers in dots and dashes instead of, and he could do it, I'm sure. Anyway, Praveen, good to have you here. Welcome back to the show.
Pleasure to be here, Ray.
Yeah, let's jump into this emerging consumer. Again, a very, very interesting subject, and a few have, if only you, Praveen, have written about this, and I found your article in Ad Age very interesting. First off, how did you discover this so-called emergent consumer?
I started following some literature in neuroscience that looked at the brain activity of visionaries. And some very interesting ideas came about, and one of which is that these people think differently. So, and this got me thinking with respect to, well, maybe, you know, we could use this idea in a new product development setting, and began reading more on that, and came up with this notion of emergent consumers who essentially have two characteristics. You know, one is their vision or foresight with respect to new product and service ideas, i.e. they're more like visionaries. And second is their thinking style. They are able to think both experientially, which is holistic and intuitive, and rationally, which is analytical and logical. So if you have this great combination of the people who can think both sort of in a holistic sense as well as a causal and logical sense, and combine that with their foresight, and that interaction gives rise to an output which is quite atypical compared to what you get from your typical or average consumers. So, but the next step is, you know, how do you even identify these people? So we have conducted a scientific study of a global panel of about 1,100 consumers across the globe, and were able to develop a psychometrically valid scale to identify these consumers. We had originally developed a 17-item scale to measure this nature, but we were quickly able to pare it down to basically 8 questions. And the people who score high on these 8 questions, which measures their emergent nature, we can identify them, and we were able to put them on a online module where they were given the task of developing new product concept, and they it was sort of a bulletin board format, and they had a week or so to develop it. And simultaneously, we put for 3 other groups given the same task, and one of which was your average consumer, and the second group was lead users. The other people who experienced the need much before the marketplace, and the third group was the innovative consumers. They all had the same task, and after the week or so, we collected the output from that, and each group was very happy with what they had produced. And then we took these 4 concepts and tested it with about 650 mainstream consumers, and by far, well, the unsurprising result was that the concept developed by the typical consumers was the one that was least rated or least favorable, and the top 2 were those developed by the emergent consumers and the lead users, and between that, the one developed by the emergent consumer was the one that was most favorable, and we did that in the context of the home delivery of goods.
So your mainstream consumers were pretty much your control group, I guess.
Exactly. That was our control group, absolutely.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about part of your study involved an actual new product called the Smart Box. I'm curious. I think our listeners would be interested in learning how you what you accomplished with this particular study as it related to this new product, Smart Box.
The key idea here is that, you know, here is a smart box that you can attach it to anywhere in your house and take delivery of products in there. But then the question is, how should you, you know, develop this product so that the typical consumer would find it interesting and would find it appealing? And so in that context, the emergent consumers, because of their visionary nature with respect to how a new product or a service might fit into the life of a typical consumer, they were able to come up with really nice 2 or 3 unique ideas that can be incorporated in this concept, so that, you know, the typical consumer will find it more attractive. And one of which was incorporating a randomly generated computer code that expires soon after the delivery person accesses the smart box, and the retrieval of the items also by a unique code. So they were thinking of these features that a typical person might find it very useful from a safety standpoint.
Interesting. Our special guest here on the Advertising Show, Praveen Kopale, who is the Associate Professor of Business Administration at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. There's more to come. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
We here at the ad agency feel this commercial is provocative, motivating, and really classroom. Now, what do you think, sir?
Only one.
Indeed,
show.
You're on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Praveen Coppola is our special guest out of Hanover, New Hampshire this weekend. Praveen is the Associate Professor of Business Administration at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. Praveen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Are we getting extra credit for this, Praveen?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Ray's still working on
this. I'm going the doctorate way. There we go.
Yeah. Hey, you mentioned, Praveen, earlier that you have come up with 8 questions to qualify an emergent consumer. I'm curious. I don't know if this is proprietary or if it's something that you can give our audience a sense of what either some or all of those questions might be.
No, it's not. You know, the paper is going through the publication process right now, and it'll be in the public domain once it's published. But I'd be happy to share it with you and your audience. And you want me to just read out some of these questions?
I'm very curious because it's like such an interesting concept.
Those of the audience who wants to know more about it, I'd be happy to send it to them as well. Here are some questions. When I hear about a new product or service idea, it is easy to imagine how it might be developed into an actual product or service. So they rate it on a 1 to 7 scale where 1 is strongly disagree and 7 is strongly agree. Mm-hmm. Second one, even if I don't see an immediate use for a new product or service, I like to think about how I might use it in the future. Mm-hmm. Third one, when I see a new product or service idea, it is easy to visualize how it might fit into the life of an average person in the future. And if someone gave me a new product or service idea with no clear application, I could fill in the blanks so someone else would know what to do with it. And even if I don't see an immediate use for a new product or service, I like to imagine how people in general might use it in the future.
That makes sense.
I like to experiment with new ideas for how to use products and services. Here's a good one. I like to find patterns in complexity. And the last one is, I can picture how products and services of today could be improved to make them more appealing to the average person. So, you know, this is it. So it's not that hard. But coming up with it, the science behind it, it took us a long time to
Yeah, and I can certainly sense, having now heard the questions, how that can do a great go a long way, I suppose, in qualifying a consumer, because certainly not everyone would fit the bill as you describe it. Since completing your study, have you conducted any additional research, Praveen, to either validate or improve the original idea?
Absolutely. We have just completed another study in a consumer packaged goods setting. In fact, a large consumer packaged goods company has really found the idea very, very interesting, and they gave us access to their global panel, and we've just in fact, we will be fielding that on this Friday, the results of the emergent consumers output, which was a precursor to this Friday study, they look very interesting, and emergent consumers were the ones who were able to come up with the most ideas, the most unique ideas, and promising ideas in the category that this particular company is working in. So I'm very excited about it. I think, you know, I think we're up to something. Something cooler, if I may say so myself. But I see this as a breath of fresh air in this area. And the fact that we were able to pare it down to 8 questions, I think, is pretty neat as well. Because the original 17 questions, that could be a bit too much. And you know, what I find is that people are very, very truthful when they answer these questions, and a lot of them don't fit this mode. Our typical hit rate in at least online panels to identify emergent consumers is probably around you know, 8 to 12%. There you go.
Did you have much of a, real quickly, Ray, did you have much of a reaction from the article where you mentioned that readers can contact you if they're interested in learning more about the emergent nature scale?
Oh, yes. In fact, the response has been very positive and huge. A lot of people have contacted me, and I've been in touch with them. And one of the companies is actually, you know, would like to do this study globally to try and figure out why whether there may be differences in, across countries with respect to finding these emergent consumers. So I would say the response has been very positive, and I'm very very happy to hear that.
Well, Praveen, thank you for taking time out of your weekend here to be with us here at the Advertising Show. A lot of good information, and I don't have a web address.
I have it here, right? I'll make sure to mention the email, Praveen, P-R-A-V-E-E-N dot Kopale, K-O-P-A-L-L-E at Dartmouth. .edu. I butchered it totally, but we're going to mention it again next segment as well.
Remember one more time, boys.
Yeah, 1-800.
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, Praveen, what a pleasure having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you guys, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, back with more in just a minute.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form, and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Oh, you need puff, you make a puff or dutter. Marshmallow.
Thanks again to our special guest today, Praveen Kopale at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. And it is Praveen, Praveen, P-R-A-V-E-E-N dot K-O-P-A-L-L-E. At dartmouth.edu, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, well, I got that right. That's 2 points for me. Yeah. Great interview, and a very interesting gentleman as well, Brad, here in the Advertising Show. Okay,
yeah, very interesting.
Donald Trump says, you're fired! And so does Campbell's Soup. Campbell's Soup has fired the NFL moms. Hmm. They're out. You're out of here. For the past 6 years, the company's been running a well-received series of ads for the Chunky Soup, NFL league greats, their moms, calling them from inside for dinner and serving them soup. But starting with the NFL this season, the moms will be riding the bench. The reason for the change? Campbell's Soup says its new research has revealed that the company's target consumers, men in their 30s, are finally achieving soup independence. Also, another possible factor, Chunky is slumping. Slumping. That sounds kind of weird.
You know, anyway. I always thought those spots were they were cute, but they really didn't impart any of the brand value of the product they were showcasing, in my opinion. And, you know, I think it, you know, here's this football player and his mom, and oh, hey, go eat your soup. It's right, like, okay, right, that's right. Funny, and yeah. Everyone can relate to it, but why Campbell's? Why Campbell's over some other brand? It wasn't
that's
there.
True. There was no differentiator there, no doubt about it. Gene Bliss, our customer experience, soothing the savage consumer's soul. We'll listen to that right now.
Welcome to the customer experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Today we begin a series called Soothing the Savaged Consumer Soul. customer love when times are tough. First, become wizards at alternative solutions. Creative solutions that help your customers cope and manage with the current financial pinch will be long remembered. Can you offer revised payment plans or other pricing offers? Coach your front line how to hold a diagnostic conversation to understand the financial implications of the current market with customers. And reach out to customers proactively, especially if service contracts or annual commitments are due. In this economy, customers are more likely to opt out and disappear. If you show up proactively with a helping hand, empathetic approach, and creative options prior to their decision, you can save business and build allies. And the memory of your actions will serve you long after this financial pinch is over, as you stand out as the partner in supporting your customers from their point of view.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is Corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
That is Gene Bliss with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Gene, as always, thanks. Great to have you as a part of the show. Thanks to Praveen, our very special guest today. Next week, we have David Meerman Scott, the man with three names, co-author of a book called Tuned In, Uncover the Extraordinary Opportunities That Lead to Business Breakthroughs. And that's next week on The Advertising Show. At the Democratic National Convention, actually the Democratic National Committee in this particular case, Brad, listen to this. They have yanked all of its radio internet advertising promoting the presumptive nominee. Why? Because of complaints they showed up alongside photos of scantily clad women touting such things as the thong of the day on several rock station sites. The DNC ordered all radio websites' ads come down until it's able to review content. Yeah. And fat chance that's going to happen on a rock station. I mean, what, they're to get some ads, you know, for political ads, they're going to change their site? I don't think so. Either the Democrats have to change their philosophy on where they want to run, and maybe in a roundabout way, maybe not such a smart idea. I mean, when you think about it, they're trying to reach these people. They you know, hello, welcome to the real world. This is what's going on out there. So in the meantime, they pulled. I suppose McCain ought to start running ads then.
He looked great in the thong, I think.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're going to do online advertising, you're going to run into that, and you can't control that environment. I guess you can, but it costs you more. But, you know, if they were smart, they'd just do a thing-a-thong. I mean, a sing-along.
A sing-along?
A thing-a-thong.
A thing.
I don't know. I think thongs are good. You're going to, like you say, Ray, that's the audience. That's what they're seeing anyway, just because they see your ad alongside a, as you say, a gladly dressed lady in a thong. Is that going to, you know, translate over to an ad that you're seeing?
It's like
the same
asking
page?
A radio station to pull certain commercials. Not that they run X-rated commercials, but, you know, it's like, no, we're not going to, if you don't pull that spot for that loud car dealership, we're not going to run on your station. It's like, that'll never happen.
Well, on radio, if it was loud car dealerships you couldn't have on, we'd be talking about the former medium called radio. Yeah.
How true is that? We are just about out of time here. I hope you enjoyed the interview today. Seriously, go check out more about Praveen Kopale at Dartmouth. And a lot of very deep thoughts there coming from Praveen today. And we look forward next week to our special guest, who I said is David Scott, coming up next week. He's got a brand new book out, and we'll talk about that too. Here at The Advertising Show, we hope you enjoyed here online. Lots of stuff. If you haven't had a chance to kind of look around the website, good idea to do so. There's an incredible amount of information. And, of course, a gazillion interviews dating back all the way to 2001, so it's good stuff. Tell your friends about it too. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. And by the Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Hope you enjoyed the show. Come back next week, won't you? The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.